We're jumping into a sermon series in the title. I know some of you guys are big on titles, and so I got to give it to you, or I'm going to get an email probably, or like a one-star Google review, I don't know. But the title of this series we're going into is Revival Time. Revival Time. And if you've been around Vertical, you know I use this language. I talk about revival is coming. It's coming. I believe in it. And if you're new, you're like, I don't even know what revival means. That's okay. So revival, that when I'm talking about from this platform, is this idea. Revival is God is moving in many people at the same time. God's moving in many people at the same time. God's working individually in all of our lives. But there's this move of God that's so much bigger than just us. And we don't want that here just at Vertical. We want it for other Bible-believing churches. Like, we don't want to think so small, like, hey, I just want revival here at Vertical. No, we want revival at Bible-believing churches across this world. Like, we want such a move of God that people who are just walking the streets, they don't go to church, they're like, my goodness, something is happening in society right now, and I've got to look, is Jesus alive? Is that who he really is? Is he really who they say he is, that he can change people's lives? Like, that's what I'm talking about with revival, where it makes people really genuinely ask, who is Jesus, and do I need to give my life to him? And they're compelled to follow him. So the series is called Revival Time, and we're going to look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me, we're going to start in verse 42, and we're going to put the words up on the screen because we want to have you enjoy the Word of God. We want you to get into the Word of God because we believe it applies to your life today. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. That's communion if you are not familiar with that. And to prayer. And to prayer. The word that stuck out to me there was devoted. Devoted. I genuinely believe that every human being out there right now is devoted to something. I believe every human being is out there devoted to something. It may be to sports. It may be to politics. It may be to Netflix. It may be to hiking. It may be to your family, your job, to money. We're all devoted to something. But Acts chapter 2 is telling us this group of people, they got together and they devoted themselves to teaching and to gathering in community. They were sharing meals, and so I'm convinced they had some Southern DNA inside of them at that time, and they were gathering together probably with some fried chicken and some mac and cheese because that was before people got lactose intolerant probably. Praise God. They got together and they were devoted to meals and to communion in their houses together with one another. And then the craziest thing starts to happen. They start to see a move of God. But they start off just being devoted, saying, God, we want to see you move. We're going to listen to the teaching. We're going to be in prayer. We're going to be seeking to meet together because we're all devoted. You may be here and you are devoted to something. It may be an addiction. You may be devoted to laziness. You may be devoted to gluttony. You may be devoted to yourself. But every person is devoted to something. Every person is devoted to something. Look at these next verses. After they committed to being devoted to the ways of God, a deep sense of awe, verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And if we want to see revival, the first thing we've got to have is a devotion to the right things. We just saw that in the beginning verse. You got to have a devotion to the right thing if you want to see revival happen right now. The second thing we've got to see is God moving. God starts responding when we're devoted to the right kind of things. God starts moving amongst their midst. They start to see miracles and signs and wonders. You want to start to see revival is when people see something happen and they go, that's beyond what I can understand or explain. That's beyond what I can understand or explain. It's so curious to me when people say they're an atheist or anything, I'm like, well, then just explain to me how you think the world formed. Where do you think the universe came from? I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm not a denier in science. Science gets used in a lot of different ways and terms, but when I am talking about science, I believe studying things because I believe it points back to a creator. I've never met anyone who could go and say, if you take nothing and you combine it with nothing, you get a galaxy that's bigger than we can comprehend. That's science. studying something, because really what ultimately people, when you ask them enough questions, they'll go, just give me that one miracle and I can explain everything else. And my response is, you give me that one miracle and I can explain to you Jesus. And so they got together, they were devoted, they were seeing moves of God that they can't explain. And it starts getting the attention of other people. They're just living their lives and they start seeing things happen that they cannot explain. It starts birthing a revival because they've got to start deciding, what am I going to do with this claim that Jesus was the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, that he applies to my life? I'm starting to see things I cannot explain. And it started birthing, one, because they were just devoted as believers to gathering together, praying together, seeking out the teaching and the word of God. They start seeing a move of God. And that's what we want to have you experience here at Vertical. It's why we open our doors. It's why we're willing to meet in a gym and put out the tarps and stream out online and get together in Hiawassee. We believe God can still do this. Like, we're not reading a history book. We're not like, oh, Acts happened, but God can't do stuff anymore. I still believe it's miraculous for someone who's dead in their sin to become awake to the reality that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That's miraculous to me. That still happens today. That changed my life. That's miraculous. I used to be dead spiritually, and then God moved in my life, and I became alive. That's miraculous. Some of that happened in some of your lives. That's why you're here today. Some of you are wondering, can that happen in your life today? And I'm going, absolutely. Absolutely. Not only can it happen, God wants it to happen. He loves you. He was willing to sacrifice his son for you to go from being spiritually dead to alive. That's available today. God may be speaking right into your life today, saying, come follow me. Leave your ways behind. Come follow me. We want that to happen here at Vertical Church, something I've talked about, and you may be familiar with this language or you may have fallen asleep during those messages. It's an open seat mentality, an open seat mentality. And what I mean by that is when people come to Vertical Church, we may be believing, if you've been coming here for a while, we may believe, man, I think God's going to move today. We talk about having that expectation every single Sunday, believing God can move today, not just last Sunday, but today. And then I want us to have the mentality that I've got an open seat for somebody else to come experience the same thing. Because you may have happened, if you've been coming to churches for a while, this may have happened to you at some point. You show up at a church, and it seems like everybody already has their community and friends, and you're an outsider. And nobody really cares that you're there. Nobody seems interested in discovering and seeing if God can move in your life today. You're just the outsider. But I want us to have an open seat mentality. You show up at Vertical Church, and someone's going to greet you outside and be like, I'm already believing. I'm excited you're here, because I believe God's going to move today. That's why the greeting team, the parking team, show up early is belief. I want to welcome you, because I think God's going to move today. That's why we got coffee and donuts and people are serving in children's church and our security teams, our tech teams. That's why people are sitting in a bunker right now with no AC to help Hiawassee be streamed in and online and here in the building. They're sitting in a bunker with no AC right now because I believe God can move today. And I want to help people experience that. Why we got a hospitality team and a care team, all these people serving at our church because there's this belief that God can move. But I want to tell you guys ahead of time. I'm not claiming to be a prophet, but I'm telling you something ahead of time. Here is a temptation that is going to happen at Vertical Church in a couple months, because Lord willing, in a couple months, we will be moving into our building. Yeah. Lord willing. And thank you guys for praying for your pastor. I was ready about 11 months ago. That's right. I'm going to tell you a temptation that's going to happen on that first day. That first day when we move in, the temptation is to me, we have a new parking situation. We got showing up and you're trying to find a new parking spot. You show up and you're trying to figure out how to get in the building. You're showing up at church at a different time because we're going to be meeting at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. It's a different time, so you're going to have a different spot. You're going to show up and it's a different building. You're going to show up and it's different seating. It's being a different feel in the service maybe because 9 a.m. is not going to look like 11 a.m. We're going to have different style services, and it's all going to be different. And here's what happens when change is introduced us as humans. I'm annoyed deep down by this. It's going to happen. And watch what happens when we start to get annoyed as humans. We start to focus on how this affects me rather than how this affects other people. Some of us who've been going to vertical have been praying and fasting, and maybe you've been giving financially, maybe you've been giving of your time. This is the moment we've all been waiting for, to get in the building, and then it's changed and it's different, and then there's all these other new people who are coming to experience. They've heard about vertical church. They may not know anybody, but they're showing up. Does God still apply to my life? And then nobody talks to them because we're all worried about the change, and I'm annoyed. I'm going to tell you, it happens at all the churches, all churches. And that mentality brings death 100% of the time. When I stop worrying about, is there an open seat for somebody else to come experience and move God today? When I just worry about, am I comfortable? Am I taken care of? Are my needs being met? Is this what I wanted? When we let that sink in, it will kill any Bible-believing church. I was talking to Aaron, our youth director, about this week, about an open seat mentality, and she said something profound. She said, Philip, if we don't have an open seat for them at church, they're going to find an open seat somewhere else, and it's probably not in a church. If we can't be a church, despite the change, everything going on, believing, hey, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know where everything's at, but I want to invite you and come find a seat with me. I got an open seat right here. I believe, despite all the change, all the things different, I don't know where I'm going. The one thing I'm going to bank on today is God's going to move in my life, and he can move in your life. That's the one thing I've shown up at a new building believing for. So come follow me. We'll figure this out together. That is what we've got to have, because if not, they will go find an open seat in their bed. If not, they will go find an open seat at a restaurant. They will go find an open seat somewhere else on the lake or traveling or doing something else because there wasn't an open seat for them where God was moving. And I'm telling you ahead of time, that is going to be the temptation, because I genuinely believe that first Sunday we're open, man, there's going to be people everywhere. There's going to be people everywhere. And our serve teams are going to be doing the best that we can on that first Sunday. You may want to come help us out. We'd love it. But if we don't have an open seat mentality as a church, that's the moment we begin to die. Whether we have a new building, I mean, Hiawassee, you guys experienced it, right? Y'all started meeting in a coffee house, and goodness knows you ran out of seats. Literally ran out of seats over there. You know how important it is to have an open seat mentality. Hey, come on in. That's why we moved locations, so you have more seats, more opportunities for people in Towns County to come experience what God's doing. I want to challenge you. Are you going to have an open seat mentality when it's uncomfortable that first day? When you're going to be tempted in your flesh to just worry about yourself? Can you find somebody else that they got the deer in the headlights look? They don't know where anything is at. And you're like, we got the same look, because I don't know where anything's at hardly. Do we got an open seat mentality for people to come experience a move of God that Sunday? Look at what happens here in the next verses. Verse 45, they sold their property and possessions, and all the Americans got real uncomfortable and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, our communion, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Revival. It started with just people having a devotion to the right kind of things. And when they had a devotion to the right kind of things, they started to see God move in a powerful way. And when God started to move in a powerful way and do things that only God can do, what was the result? Revival starts to break out. People start getting saved and added to their numbers. And some of you are panicking. You're like, my gosh, he's going to start asking me to sell my possessions. Start giving. And I want to tell you, no, I'm not. Because what I think this is saying in its context, if you read the Bible in its context, Genesis to Revelation, the point of revival is not sell your possessions and then God moves and people get saved. That's actually not the principle it's teaching. If you read the Bible in its full context, what it's saying is sacrifice always precedes revival. Sacrifice always precedes revival. Sacrifice always precedes revival. It will cost us. And for some of you, you already give generously. Point blank, this is a generous church. In case y'all are wondering, we just talked about at the beginning of the message, this is a generous church. I'm not overly worried about the generosity of this church. We got generous people here. Thank you guys for your generosity. What happens sometimes, though, is I'm willing to be generous with my finances, but not my time. I'm willing to maybe be generous with my finances, but not my skills, gifts, and talents. I need those for work. I'm willing to be generous with my finances, but maybe not with my energy. See, sacrifice always precedes revival. It's going to cost. And some of us, we're willing to be generous in certain ways. Maybe it is with your time, but you're like, I ain't giving a penny. Until they get rid of these doggone tarps, I'm not giving a penny. But sacrifice always precedes a move of God. It's got to cost us something. God's not cheap. He's not looking down and going, man, they're just comfortable. They're not doing anything. They're not seeking me. I'm just going to pour out my spirit in a wild way. You don't really see that in Scripture. It was people willing to go, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, even if it makes me uncomfortable. And God responds and moves. What if revival time is not a future event? What if revival time is when we become sacrificial before the Lord? What if it doesn't have to be sometime in the future? What if it can be right now? Right now. I started thinking about this, and I heard a podcast. There's several pastors I look up to. There's Pastor Craig Rochelle, and we're going to look into him in here in a minute. Pastor Daryl Ballard from Journey Church. Some of you guys heard him speak. Pastor Drew Grubbs, Pastor Clayton King. There's these people I look up to who have been following the Lord longer than I have. Like, that's what I want. I want to be a pastor in my 50s who I've kept my integrity and I've served the Lord and I've loved the church that I'm at. Like, I look up to these guys because they've been doing it. And Pastor Craig Rochelle drops a podcast every month to help with leadership. And he taught about the three levels of belief. The three levels of belief. And if you're a note taker, I encourage you to write it down. And this level of belief can actually genuinely help you in every area of your life. Like, if you're not married yet, please, please write these down, because you are going to see how this will change relationships for you. If you're already married, these may be challenging for you, but they're helpful. They're healthy. The three levels of belief. The first belief is, I believe enough to benefit from it. I believe enough to benefit from it. In case you're wondering, I'm a man who likes all three meals and maybe a snack in between. I like my meals. And there's this one restaurant called Fogo. You may have been to Fogo before. It's not cheap. I don't go many times because I'm a frugal person. But I like all-you-can-eat delicious steak. And this place, Fogo's got all-you-can-eat steak. It's a Brazilian steakhouse. It's incredible. I believe enough in Fogo to go benefit from all-you-can-eat delicious steak. I believe enough in Fogo as a frugal person to give them money in exchange for that blessing. But you're not going to find me at Fogo cooking the meal, because they'd close down. You don't see me believe enough in Fogo to go wash the dishes and help them operate the business or to help serve the tables or anything. I believe enough in Fogo to benefit from the restaurant and the delicious steak. That's the first level of belief. I believe enough to benefit from it. But if you can go past that, if you can cross the line into the next level of belief, if you can cross the line into the second level of belief, is I believe enough to comfortably give to it. I believe enough to comfortably give to it. I believe enough to comfortably give to it. I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing an athlete. I actually played football here for Mountain Area Christian Academy, but we didn't have enough people to play real football. Real football, you need 11 people on each side of the ball. The reason we couldn't play real football is because we only had 9 players on the entire team. So we played 8-man tackle football. And if you're still doing some math in your head where you're like, you still really don't have enough people, and you would be correct. Okay, because our ninth person was a middle schooler. We're playing varsity football. Middle schoolers are not designed to go play varsity football. So what really happened is you have eight people on the field, all dying, gassed, tired, and one middle schooler looking at you when you are tired. You're pouring sweat. You're like, I would just like a drop of Gatorade. And you look over the sideline, maybe for one play, and that middle schooler has a look of terror and fear in their eyes. And they're looking at you like, that is not my calling. And you stay on the field. I played defensive end, quarterback, and punter. And I didn't like playing punter because it meant I didn't do my job as the quarterback. But I remember this one play, I was playing defensive end, second half, it's a tight ball game, and I'm tired. I'm tired. I am pouring sweat. It is hot. And I'm just like, I'm just going to take this one play off. I'm just going to take one play off, catch my breath, and then I'll get back to it, doing some work. So sure enough, they snap the ball, and I just let the player block me. And they run the ball to my side. And because I wasn't in the right position, I wasn't doing my job, they scored a touchdown on that play. And we lost that game by one touchdown. I'll never forget that because it's my fault. It's my fault because I'll tell you something about Philip as a high school athlete is Philip would show up at the practices, and he would practice, and he would make sure he was always putting in enough effort to get the playing time that he wanted. But high school Philip was never going to give more than what was comfortable. You were never going to find me in the off-season weightlifting. You were never going to find me in the off-season trying to get more in shape, and it showed in the second half of games sometimes because I would take plays off because I'm tired. I'd only given what was comfortable to my team, and it cost them. That was on me. That's the second level of belief, is I'll believe enough to give comfortably to it. And then there's a third level of belief. If you can cross the line into the third level of belief, it's I believe enough to give my life to it. I believe enough to give my life to it. When I was getting married to my wife, Kaylin, we were a long-distance couple. Anybody out there a long-distance couple before? Yeah, so y'all know. It's not as much fun necessarily. And so I lived in Dalton, Georgia. I was a youth pastor. It was my dream job. That's what I went to college. And in case some of you didn't know, I did graduate from college. Lee University, what's up? Graduated with a youth ministry degree. So I graduated and I finally got a youth ministry job. It was my dream job. It's what I thought I was created to do. And I'm working in youth ministry. I'm loving it. And my now fiance is working in the Atlanta area. And I'm going to tell you guys, we had this wild idea that after we got married, we would move in together. I mean, come on, y'all. That was our plan. But the problem with the plan was I lived in Dalton. She lived in Atlanta. That's going to be difficult. Someone's going to have to move. And so we prayed about it, and finally we decided I was going to leave being a youth pastor because we didn't feel like that's where God had called us to be at that church, even though that church had incredibly nice people. I got along great with the youth pastor I worked with. Our students were incredible. It's just not where we felt like God was calling us, so we packed up and moved. And I felt like that was a huge sacrifice because I lost myself. That job title was everything to me. Being a youth pastor that's who I thought I was, and it was sacrificial. But I made a vow to my wife when we got married. And I said, I will fall in love with third place. I'll fall in love with third place. The Lord gets first place in my life, and now as my wife, you get second place, and I will fall in love with third place. And if I was going to have any follow through on those vows, I was going to have to make a sacrifice to start our marriage. And it wasn't easy, but I believed enough in our marriage to give my life to it. And so if you're in a relationship or you're thinking about getting married, I'm telling you, don't look for high school athlete Phil. Don't look for someone that's going to give comfortably to your relationship. Don't look for somebody who is going to give enough to benefit from the relationship. You're looking for someone that believes enough in your relationship to give their life to it. And our relationship with Jesus is no different. Some of us, we follow Jesus and we believe enough in our relationship with Jesus to benefit from it. God, please help my life be better. God, please forgive me of my sins. Please bless my life. Please take care of my needs. I believe in Jesus is enough to benefit from it. And some of us, we move beyond that line. We cross the line. Jesus, I believe enough in you to give my life comfortably to it. As long as you don't ask me to do anything uncomfortable, I'll follow you, Jesus. I will believe enough to give comfortably to it. But if you want to see revival, the world around you begin to change. It's when people cross into that third line and say, Jesus, I believe enough in you to give my life to it. That is compelling to the people around you. That's the third level of belief. As you've come in today, what level of belief do you have in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus enough to benefit from it? Do you believe enough in Jesus to give comfortably to that relationship? Or do you believe enough in Jesus to give your life to that relationship? And we exist as a church. Maybe you're trying to figure out if vertical church is the right home for you. You're like, I feel a little bad. I'm genuinely just trying to figure out, is there a benefit to being here? And I want to tell you as a pastor, that's okay. That's okay. If you're trying to figure out if that's your level of belief in this church, that is okay. You may have shown up here, you may be hurting, you may be struggling, you may be searching out Jesus. It is okay for you to come here and wrestle with, do I believe enough in what God is doing at Vertical Church to benefit from it? We open our doors for that to happen. I'm good with that. But we hope at some point when you start to benefit from it, you start to move to another level of belief inside this church. I'm going to give my life comfortably to what God is doing here. And once you start to experience that, we hope there comes a moment where you follow Jesus enough where if God is calling me to be at Vertical Church, I'm going to give my life to what God is doing here. Because that's what makes a church compelling. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but if you've been at Vertical Church longer than I have and you've never moved beyond just receiving benefit from this church, I'm asking why. Like, I'm not trying to judge. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm genuinely asking if you've benefited from what God is doing at Vertical Church, what happened where you don't want to give yourself to make room for somebody else to benefit now? Like, what happened along the line? Because if we're a church that says we're going to develop leaders, people who influence the world around them, like, we can't be a church where you sit there and benefit for 5 years. Like, there's got to be a move, a belief in what God's doing here. And if what we're doing is so uncompelling that you never give anything to it, you got to decide, is this really the right church? Is this really where God's calling me to? Because at some point, you're going to have to give beyond what's comfortable to advance what God's doing here if you're a part of the body. And we move into a new building, we're going to have an influx of new people. Possibly hundreds of people who are coming in trying to decide, is there any benefit to what God is doing here? And are you going to help create space for them? Is there going to be an open seat mentality in your life? Genuinely asking, not for you to answer me. Answer the Lord who created you with gifts, skills, and talents. Will you make an impact to have an open seat mentality? I want to put up a slide. I'm hoping, where's Caroline at? Caroline, you here? Praise God. Do we get that slide up for Barna? Boom, let's go. Saw a graph here. This graph is generational breakdown of people inside of that generation volunteering of their time. And you can see what blows my mind, the generation who is giving most of their time is young people. It's people around the age of students. That's the most generous generation with their time. That's surprising to me. But it's one of the reasons we fight so hard to pass our faith on to the next generation, because I'm going to tell you right now, those students, college students, high schoolers, middle schoolers, younger students in children's church, I'm going to tell you something. Those people are giving of their lives that they will change the world. Those younger people have already figured out that if I give of my time, I can change the world. The reason we're fighting so hard for young people is, will we help them change the world in the right way? Are they going to give of their time to the right things? Because if we don't go to bat, if we don't go fight for the next generations, they're going to give their time and change the world for other things besides Jesus Christ. That's why we fight so hard for young people at this church, is because they will change the world. But will we help them go be compelling for Jesus with that change? Will we go help them develop to the young people who cross into the third level of belief that they say, I will give my life for the relationship with Jesus? That's what we're going for, because that next generation, they will change the world. Will we help them change it for Jesus or something else? Will we have an open seat mentality for young people? And then I want to encourage you, we talked about young people, I want to talk to parents right now and grandparents. Last week, if you were here, we talked about what are you building? What are you building? I genuinely believe as parents, as grandparents, you have an opportunity to build something in your kid's life. You have 18 years, give or take, to pour into their life and help them build a relationship with Jesus. At the end of the month, we're doing something called family camp. Have any of you guys heard of this? Family camp. Hiawassee, have you heard of this? Because in the building, they're just staring at me. I want to ask parents, like, I understand parents, 100% it's going to sacrifice of your time or your energy to come to family camp. I don't deny it at all. What I'm asking is that a sacrifice that you need to take? Because as a church, you may have to give financially, but I'm going to tell you right now, point blank, as the pastor of this church, if you want to come to family camp and it's a finance thing, you just tell us and we will cover you 100%. There should never, ever, ever be a reason someone doesn't come to family camp because of finances. I'm willing to bank what I have on this church to be generous. Can I love on you guys as a church another moment? There's never once been a time in my tenure here at Vertical Church where I have come before the church and asked for donations to help students or family camp or anything. Never one time this church has not given it what was needed or beyond to help young people. Not one time. Can I commend you guys for that? That is a generous church. That's why I'm willing to stick my neck out, that I guarantee if you need to come to family camp and it's a financial thing, I'm willing to stick my neck out that this church, I know this church, they will give to help you get there. Right now, church, in case you're wondering, we need $420 to cover every scholarship for people who need to go to family camp. I believe enough in you guys that you guys could take care of that today. You can jump in with Kaylin and I. We're giving. If you jump in, I think we can wipe that out today. No problem. You can give online or check or cash and just say family camp. Covers it. I believe enough in our church and our generosity to do that. But parents, you may need, grandparents, you may need to sacrifice time or energy to go, I'm going to go to family camp and I'm going to create an environment for my kids to be poured into and develop to go follow Jesus, even though it may take my time or my energy. And parents, you probably already know, you got low energy. If there's one thing all of you have told me as a new-to-be parent, it's my energy's about to be gone. That's the one thing I've heard you clearly say. You will have no sleep, you will have no energy, and all the coffee drinkers, you got a twinkle in your eye. You're like, this moment's been coming like a steam train for him. He will join the coffee drinkers. This child will break him. I'm like, okay, all right. You're a little intense on that. You must be a black coffee drinker. You know what I'm saying? But the moment we're going to see revival, is the moment where we're willing to sacrifice to see God move in other people's lives, not just our own. The moment we will see revival is when we're willing to sacrifice to see God move in other people's lives and not just our own. Because what you are devoted to, you will sacrifice for. What you are devoted to, you will sacrifice for. And so I want to close out in prayer. So if you'll just bow your head right where you're at, whether you're online, in Hiawassee, or here in the building, I want us to have a moment of genuine honesty and humility before God. And I want to ask, what line do you need to cross today? What line do you need to cross today? Do you need to move into a relationship with Jesus? Do you need to start seeing, God, does this change my life? Is there some kind of benefit to following Jesus? I need to start a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to cross your line. God, I need to move beyond just benefit, and I need to start giving back to you. I need to make that next step in my life. I need to cross the line to start giving beyond just what's beneficial to me. Or maybe it's time. It's time that you cross the third line and you say, Jesus, it's time. It is time for me to give my life to this relationship with you. Even if it means I have to give sacrificially when it comes to my energy. Even if it means I have to give sacrificially to my time. If even I have to give sacrificially financially, God, I'm willing to give my life to follow you. What line do you need to cross today? Because when enough Christ followers cross the line to say, I give my life to following Jesus, revival will happen. When we become devoted to the right things, revival happens. And so, God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus for you to move in our hearts and our minds. It's intimidating. It is scary. It is uncomfortable to think about giving our entire life to something other than ourselves. But Holy Spirit, I ask that you do something supernatural and you move beyond the fear, that you move beyond the discomfort, and you compel people to say, I will give my life to follow Jesus Christ. So Lord, whether it's online or in Hiawassee or here in the building, may your Spirit move, compel us to follow you, to be devoted to the right things. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. We want to be a church that's encouraging and helpful and there for one another. If right now in this moment for anything in your life, if you would like encouragement, if you would like prayer, whether you're in Hiawassee or here in the building, there's going to be people on the sides of the building here that will encourage you, they will pray with you, they will be there with you, because we're not supposed to follow Jesus on our own. And we would love the honor of just being encouraging to you. But what line do you need to cross today?